you know that every word you speak matters? Are your conversations making a difference? With a passion for words and a heart for conversation, Teresa Velarde is a self-professed word nerd, best-selling author, BizCat 360 columnist, and publisher. Children's books as well as fiction and nonfiction books are welcomed at WeBe Books Publishing and Book Endeavors, the imprints of her company, Authentic Endeavors Publishing. Whether written or spoken, Teresa strives to encourage and inspire meaningful conversations that make a difference. Here's the host of Conversations That Make a Difference, Teresa Velarde.
Hey, and welcome to Conversations That Make a Difference. I am Teresa Velarde, and boy, have we got a show for you today. But before we get started, I want to welcome everybody in and tell you that these calls, I was going to call it Transformational Tuesdays. How about that? That's a long time ago for me. Conversations That Make a Difference airs live first and third Tuesdays of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern. And you can watch the shows on each Tuesday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. And you can go to DreamVision7RadioNetwork.com and look at the archives there and watch the shows there. You can watch in YouTube. You can play it on your mobile devices, in your car, and you can even ask Alexa to play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. So today we have three guests with us, and we are going to be talking about trisomy and what's going on with these organizations that are helping to bring awareness and some help to families who have children who have trisomy illnesses. But before we get started, we usually start with a prayer. So let's say the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it is by God's grace that we are fabulous, blessed, and highly favored, living in our greatness, using our gifts and talents, making a difference in the lives of others with passion and purpose, and all of God's great universe is conspiring in our favor. And together we say, amen. So I want to welcome a couple of people from an organization called SOFT. I'm going to welcome Barb and Chris. Barb, I'm not going to attempt your last name. You're going to have to tell it to me. But you're in upstate New York, and you and your husband are parents of two. Your daughter, Stacy, was the second oldest living child with trisomy 18, living in the United States, and survived almost 37 years. You made it your career to fight for the rights of medically fragile children and their families, and you are the president of SOFT for over 30 years. Welcome to Conversations That Make a Difference. It's so good to have you here. You're welcome. Chris is a founding parent, and you are in Arizona. You and your husband are parents of six wonderful children. Your second child, Carrie Deanne, was born with trisomy 18. She lived lovingly and beautifully for 10 years, and you are founding parents of SOFT since 1981, and you have been continually involved with this organization as permanent board members and serve on various committees. You're dedicated to supporting families on their trisomy journey. Ladies, welcome. Amanda. Hello. Amanda Gust, and she's kind of in the dark there. She's got a bunch of children she's taking care of right now. She's the co-founder and president of Born Able, a nonprofit dedicated to reclaiming the worth and value of babies and children with complex medical conditions. And through the inclusive children's series, Born Able, Amanda and her husband, John, have five beautiful children. And when she's not busy fighting to change the world, she's likely to be the loudest mom on the bleachers at their hockey, soccer, and softball games. So welcome, ladies. I'm very excited to have this conversation with you because the world needs to know about children who have survived something called trisomy. And there are several different types of trisomy. So Barb, I'm going to go to you first. And I'm going to ask you to tell me, for people who don't know what this is, what we're talking about, can you give a definition for the audience?
I mean, I think the thing that people are most used to hearing is Down syndrome, and Down syndrome is trisomy 21. But trisomy can occur on any one of the any one of the genes, so that's why there's so many that can be out there. And in the genes, there can be many combinations of trisomy 18p, which is partial, part of the gene, trisomy 13. So there's many, many different trisomies that can be out there. And basically what it means is, like Down syndrome, you have three number 18 chromosomes for trisomy 18. And that causes some things that might happen with your child that might be more issues, like heart conditions. They might have feeding problems. But the biggest thing that I want to express is the joy that they share with all of us. The doctors give us an idea that our children aren't going to be successful, aren't going to be joyful, aren't others to understand. That Stacy was a joy of our life, and we miss her every day. But she really changed our life for the better. As hard of a struggle as it was, she definitely made our life better.
So now you said she lived to be almost 37 years old.
Yeah, she was 3 weeks short of her 37th birthday, and the last couple of years were more of a struggle. And we were in and out of the hospital more. So we kind of felt like she was getting a little tired. But before that, she went on five cruises. She traveled the country.
She's
She
breathing.
was in a place that had a palm tree. She knew she was where she wanted to be. Take her to those warm beaches, Arizona, Florida, wherever, or the Caribbean. She loved the Caribbean. So
Awesome.
show her a palm tree, she knew where she was.
That's quite a different conversation than what the narrative is today. And Chris, your daughter lived to be 10 years old. Can you talk a little bit? I call these ladies angel moms. They call themselves angel moms also because once the children leave this planet, they become little angels in our lives. They are angels in their life in our lives when they're here, and they become angels on the other side when they go home to heaven. So you want to talk a little bit about your daughter and the trisomy she had?
Thank you. Yes, our daughter Carrie was born in 1977 with trisomy 18, and at that time we didn't even know how to say it, let alone spell it. But we became genetically adept very, very quickly. And she, as you say, was an angel. We felt very blessed to have her. She was able to leave the hospital in less than a day because in 77 they did not know how to support her. What to do for her. She wasn't on oxygen. And so we were able to, as they said, take her home and enjoy her till she died over the weekend. If she lived, we were to bring her back on a Monday and see the geneticist. Well, she not only lived the weekend, we learned how to gavage feed and to do a number of other things. And from there, she actually grew, developed, smiled, responded, and became what I called a valuable family member. We were very, very blessed because she was not hospitalized very often, and she lived really a very contented, happy, and what I would have called, like Barb said, I think she lived a productive life because she influenced everyone around her, and she influenced us to want to reach out and meet others. Because she survived longer than was expected, we had no information, and we wanted to gain information. How do we take the next step? What do we do if she lives? How do we help her in a life journey as they were preparing for us to live without her? We were trying to prepare ourselves to live with her. And what did that look like?
So this month of, and that's beautiful. You know, I think that the medical industry today is still having parents trying to preparing to live without their children. And really, what as parents you want to do is to be able to spend time and have a life with your children that you bring into this world. What does Trisomy Awareness Month mean to you? Now, M March is Trisomy Awareness Month, and there are specific days, I think, through the month that are honoring the different trisomy numbers, if you will, and the From my understanding and what you just said and what I've read throughout this process, because as you know, my heart is near and dear to the organization that Amanda represents, Born Able. Trisomy 18 is there is an extra chromosome on the 18th rung of the chromosome of the DNA ladder. 13 is on the 13th rung, and 21, which is Down syndrome, is on the 21st. Now, I know Down syndrome day is the 21st of this month. Are there specific days for the other two, and are there more than three?
There are. There's trisomy 18, which we celebrate on the 18th. I mean, we celebrate the kids every day of the month. This is their month to shine. This is our month to help them shine. So that's what we try to do. But trisomy 18 is the 18th. Trisomy 13th is the 13th. Anything to do with any one of the chromosomes. So we started on the first with whatever child, and generally it's not a trisomy there. And like we also look at nine, trisomy 9P generally, because generally with a full trisomy, they don't live. And we go through the whole month to celebrate the children and the angels.
It's off, and that's awesome.
We're holding it
There are chromosome disorders with every chromosome, so that's why each day represents. But we don't have 31 chromosomes; right. We have 23. Right. So soft is also for trisomy 18, 13, and related disorders, and that's because there are different. As Barb had mentioned, there are different conditions that have resulted from chromosome disorders that aren't as straightforward. So Down syndrome being the most common, trisomy 18 the second, trisomy 13 the third. But as she mentioned, there are 4P minus, there's trisomy 9s, and there's a number of chromosome disorders on the 15th chromosome. Many organizations have reached out to those particular conditions, but SOFT has opened their arms and welcomed anyone with any kind of chromosome disorder. We've even had some families who've had a child with Down syndrome that have also come to us. One family, in fact, had trisomy 18 and trisomy 21.
Wow. Wow. You know, so it's not uncommon these days, and the medical industry needs to catch up and let go of, in my opinion, the narrative that they're telling these parents. So that leads me to ask you, during this particular year, there's been a lot of talk about trisomy in the news. And how is this month's awareness going to help you ladies, all of you and all of us who are advocates for these children in one way or another? How are we going to, what are you doing to change the narrative that's out there right now?
Well, we
go ahead, Barb.
We've been trying to do it for years. And yes, this year has been a difficult year for us with some of the publicity that's been going on. But we continue to try and change the narrative, help the doctors understand that our children can live and that they need to give them a little bit of hope. We're in the process of putting a prenatal book together for both trisomy 18 and 13. We hope to hit those doctors before the children are even born and let them understand beforehand that these kids can survive and that they need to give the parents the information to help them. It's very, very hard when you're told that your child's going to be incompatible with life and that they're only going to live one day or they may not live to birth. So it's very, very difficult for the families to deal with. We're hoping to get the information out there and allow the doctors to give the parents all the information that they need.
I think it's important to remember that not all children, the narrative that's been going on, particularly this year with the trisomy 18 specifically, is that the information we feel is not comprehensive, nor is it completely accurate. And I think that's what we really hope is for the information to be given accurately. In our case, as in many cases, there was no intervention at birth and our child still lived with full trisomy 18. And without enough information, parents are then set up to not know how to proceed to be the best parents they want to be. So it's important that as we advocate for our children, we also advocate strongly for accurate and complete information and let parents make decisions based on the complete picture and not just on one portion of this journey. That it's, there's a lot of dimensions to this.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you said that, Chris, because, excuse me, I think that the conversations about these particular disorders is still evolving because medicine is learning more and more with each child that is born, I believe. At least I hope that they are. And it's not just the parents having to figure things out on their own. I mean, I know that Amanda, I'm going to go to you for a second here. You're with Born Able. You are the president of Born Able. And one of the things that you do is bring awareness to people that these children, I think joy, when you said joy, Barb, earlier, I think that is the word that is disassociated in the general population, but is embraced by parents of children who have trisomy 18 and their families and friends who care for them. Amanda, what's been your experience with this?
Yeah, so when we first kind of were brainstorming the idea behind Born Able and the Born Able book series, we came up with the first book, I Am Able. And really what we wanted to showcase was what these kids are able to do, because all we could hear was what the doctors were telling us Able would never be able to do and all of these things that he had to overcome. And so our first book really featured a lot of trisomy 18 kids and talked about the things that they are able to do. It might just look differently than how a typical child goes about doing it. So they still like to sing and dance and play with their friends. And Caden loves to go to the beach and all of these things. And I think the really most important thing that I would have never imagined 2023 would have been the year that like every aspect of Trisomy 18 took over my life, walking through the journey with my friend. And then all of a sudden I'm the president of a organization and Trisomy 18 is, you know, front page news everywhere across the entire country. And so I really felt it was our for such a time as this moment, because here there was people telling me that, oh, Trisomy 18, they're incompatible with life. We even had really big organizations telling us that there weren't any children living with Trisomy 18. And I'm like, really? Because we author books and here's a whole bunch of them. And it's just been such a great experience, not just for that community, but we go into schools and I have five typical children. And I went into their schools last week and I introduced them to the Born Able book series. And I got to read to them stories about children with Trisomy 18. And they were asking amazing questions. So getting the information out there, not just to parents who may potentially be impacted by trisomy 18 and a prenatal diagnosis, but also to these kids, so the typical children, so that when they come across something, it's not scary. They've already been exposed to it.
Right.
They already know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I wanted to show, this is the Born Able book that Born Able created for the SOFT organization to bring awareness to trisomy. And these books are so adorable with kids, young babies, teenagers, middle school children. The illustrations are fun. Each one of these faces here represents a child who is living, not just surviving, living with trisomy 18. And I just have great joy. I get the privilege of putting these together. When they give me the information, when Amanda and Jesse give me the information and the illustrations, I help to put them together and get them out into the world. And there's not just one, there's a bunch of them. We've got the SOFT book, which we're celebrating today with these ladies. We've got Patchwork Heart. We've got case of the missing belly button, because there are other things that trisomy kids deal with, like omphalocele, and we'll talk about that in a little bit too. But there's other things, you know. Now in this month we're celebrating St. Patrick's Day and birthdays, which society today will tell you are not going to happen. But obviously there is much, much evidence that these children can live, you know, live life with joy and productivity. So
I think it's important, Teresa, to also note that many of those children are now angel children. But it doesn't change the fact that their families still embrace the holidays and they still celebrate their children. And if they do have other children in their homes, their siblings celebrate their sibling who is now an angel child. So when you talk about the holidays, or throughout the year, these celebrations people have, whether they're in our hearts or in our arms, they are still continuing to be in most families' lives a valuable family member. And so their being here isn't essential in their still being celebrated.
I'm so glad you said that, Chris, because, you know, just like, you know, there's a lot of like children, a lot of children get cancer. A lot of children have cancer. That seems to be acceptable. That seems to be something that will get the care, the treatment, the compassion, all of the things that trisomy kids should get as well. But for some reason, there's a line drawn in the sand about what the narrative is going to be on this topic. And it's really frustrating to me, being on the outside looking in, but now getting my hands involved in the stories, you know, so, and my heart involved in the stories, and even more so because I know Abel's mom. That's how I got started in this. And I grew to know and love Amanda too, because we've been working on these books together and we've had conversations. And, you know, it's just, it's heartbreaking to me to see what the uneducated community is saying about this particular chromosomal disorder. But we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this. When we come back, I want to ask you ladies how you feel about the recent events in the news showing up about this particular topic, and what are you doing for the parents who may be calling out to you for some support through your organizations in order to be able to change that narrative. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes. Right now, we're going to go to a break. Come on back and talk to these ladies about soft.
With the hustle and bustle of today's world, how often do you take time to practice gratitude? More importantly, how can you make it a habit? The Grateful Hearts community is a group of like-minded people focusing on what's going right and being grateful. Gratitude is more than putting a smile on your face and being thankful for the roof over your head. It's about expanding your perception and finding ways to find gratitude for, in, and through the challenges we face every day. Gratitude is a feeling of connection to things higher than yourself, to God, and to others. We focus on light, positivity, and connections. You make a difference. When we join our grateful hearts together, the power of community attracts more people and even more to be grateful for. Expressing gratitude and feeling grateful is infectious, so let's share it. Join our Grateful Hearts community and watch your blessings blossom. Learn more at gratefulheartscommunity.com and join the community at facebook.com/thegratefulheartscommunity.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Did you know that every word you speak matters? What you say and how you say it can make or break a relationship or shift the outcome of any situation. Are your conversations making a difference? Faith in God, gratitude, authenticity, and giving are Teresa Velarde's heart. It's in this spirit that she's focused on making a difference in the lives she's blessed to touch. Conversations That Make a Difference is now on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
This is Dream Vision 7 radio network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back with the two ladies that are representing the organization called SOFT. Now, SOFT stands for Support Organization for Trisomy. I thought I was going to forget that. And this organization has been around for 40 years.
You're muted, Chris.
You're muted, Chris.
Thank you. You got it. You have that first part. You had the hard part down. Thanks. A support organization for trisomy 18, 13, and related disorders. I know it's a mouthful, but as we became more familiar to geneticists and genetic counselors, then we realized we had an open door that invited more and more into the organization because we learned from each other. I'll let you get back to it. Thank you, Teresa.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you gave the clarification. So with all that being said, and the organization and the fact that you do support parents of children and children who are alive and living their lives with these disorders, how do you feel about the recent events that have been showing up in the news? And how is your organization helping to support the parents through this narrative, if you will?
Do you want to bring up our position
first?
Well, we put together it took us a while. I mean, I think it took us all aback for a while because we thought we'd been moving ahead.
She keeps freezing.
Felt like we were back at the beginning. At one point, it felt like we were back at the beginning and we were starting all over again. So SOFT did put a position paper together. And our biggest thing was that families, like Chris said earlier, needed the complete information given to them. They needed to make decisions with everything and understanding that children do survive also, because that's an important fact. I think that when we first took Stacy, many nights crying, saying, is tomorrow going to be the last day?
I can only imagine what that's like as a parent.
And it took
Barb, you keep freezing. Chris, I'm gonna go to you to finish some of what she's saying there so that we can get the message. I understand that, you know, parents are like, they go to sleep at night, wonder if the child's gonna be alive in the morning. It's that kind of atmosphere that you're living with when you don't know how to help them. But at the same time, the love and support is a parent's dream to be able to give that to their kids. So you wanna pick up where she left off?
Thank you. Regarding the events of the last few months in particular, SOFT's position, we put out a press release because our heart went out to the family in Texas. We felt for them and we have compassion as we know that their decision, their journey was difficult for them. SOFT's position regarding that is not about their choice. It was about the information. Mm-hmm. And we wanted a complete picture given, if at all possible, to each and every family, regardless if they're prenatally diagnosed or they find out at the birth of their child. Today, vast majority are being prenatally diagnosed. But if they're only giving a small sliver of the information, families are making decisions based on a small sliver of information. Mm-hmm. What we would like to, as an organization, as we as always have, is we try to accumulate as much information as possible so parents can make the best decision for them, their family, that they can go into it without feeling like they come back months later and go, I didn't know. Nobody told me this side of the story. Mm-hmm. And it goes both ways. It can seem undaunting to a family that they're going to have a child that is disabled and possibly going to die very quickly. That is a profound piece of information. However, there are other sides to it as well. There are ways to learn how to be the best parent to your child for however long and to make the best decisions, whether it's prenatally or at birth. We just seek strongly to change the narrative by giving families the whole picture and not just one slice of the picture.
Okay, besides the information that you give to them, which is, I'm so glad that you're saying this, because I think, you know, the doctors only give them like one slice, certain information. And
most and of it may be well-intentioned. It may be, they're trying to say, we're going to make this easier for you. So we're going to make it sound so difficult that when you make your decision, you're going to be okay with this. And I don't think every doctor, nurse, genetic counselor, I don't think that they are trying to be unkind. I just don't think they're always fair in not giving the whole picture.
And the statistics that are out there today, that when you Google any one of these trisomy disorders, when the statistics that you get are daunting. Exactly. You know, it's crazy. So I love that you're getting all the information out there. I know, Amanda, as Born Able, what kind of things do you do in support of these families who have trisomy kids and other disorders related to it?
Well, in response to the news and what was in the media, the first thing we wanted to do is actually hear from the parents of children with trisomy 18 specifically, because you're right. When you go and you get a prenatal diagnosis and you Google trisomy 18, like I did when Jess told me that baby B had trisomy 18, the first thing I said to her was, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I have no words for you. Because I think it's around 90% don't make it to birth. Of the remaining 10%, most won't live past a week, and very few live over the first year, is what you'll find if you Google those statistics. So we wanted to hear from Trisomy 18 parents specifically. So we put together a survey. We got, I think it was between 50 and 60 parents of Trisomy 18 children, both living and their children had passed away. And we went through the experience. So some of the questions that we asked, and we wanted to know, like, were you given options when you had your diagnosis? Were you given the option to have interventions? And most of these parents weren't given an option to even have medical intervention. Another, we would ask if, were you told sorry? Were you given options if your hospital that you were planning to deliver at wasn't a level one NICU or incapable of handling the medical care that they needed? Were you given help trying to find a transfer? Most parents weren't. So when we're looking at the statistics surrounding trisomy 18, and what's being put out in the media, people need to know that those statistics are horrible for a reason. And we, of course, don't want to talk to a parent who has a prenatal diagnosis and tell them that everything's going to be perfect and your baby's going to survive, because we know very well that that might not be the case. But what we are trying to work on now is how to take this culture that doesn't want to accept hurt. We don't want to accept loss. We want everything to be perfect and on our time. And really, we want to kind of rewrite the narrative that it's okay when life isn't perfect. And loss is a part of life. But guess what? You can find so much beauty and grace and purpose in loss. I say Abel lived 210 days, and in 210, in that little boy's 210 days, his life impacted me so much, impacted my children's life so much, impacted so much. And that's 210 days. Most people look at that and think it's nothing. But to the people who loved and knew him, and who are getting to like see his legacy carried on through the Born Able books and Born Able. I mean, what a gift. Mm-hmm. What a gift. And if that's what 210 days does, or 7 years or 17 years, if that's the legacy you leave on earth, what a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the Born Able Foundation would not have existed without him. The books and the books that you're sharing with your community would not have been here without him. And so, you know, and I truly believe Jesse and Amanda, a lot of your purpose came through Abel's life, you know, so Jesse particularly, I know that for certain. And I'm floored by when you Google the statistics, they are like, yeah, but there's a different side to it that nobody tells you. And that in the general medical community, nobody tells you that there is a possibility of life. Will it be the same as yours and mine? Not necessarily, but I'm a firm believer that God does not make mistakes. No. Every one of these children are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Chris and Barb, with their children living 10 and 37 years respectively, can speak to that. So what do you have to say, Chris?
Thank you. I think it's important that families know they're not alone. Mm-hmm. They may feel everybody's story is unique, and yet in their uniqueness, they can find that they are in a community of people who understand exactly what they're going through and feel with them and for them. So I think the isolation is what hurts my heart for families, is if they feel so alone and without information and floundering as they try to make these decisions. We as fellow parents on this trisomy journey try to let them know they're not alone and that they are surrounded by people who, wherever their decisions, whatever walk of life, whatever happens for them, we are there and we understand and we care.
And how does your organization, Barb, besides the information that you get out there to the parents so that they can have some support that way, knowing that you have you have information and maybe even services that are available to them, what exactly does Soft Organization do?
Well, we try to link families together. We try and we used to have an 800 number, but you know, we kind of gone beyond that. People want to go to the website, get their information down and dirty right then and there. They want the information and they want to go from there. So we offer that information. We do Trisomy Awareness Month every year, but Trisomy Awareness is 365 days a year, so we have to continue it all the time. One of our biggest things that we do is we have a conference in July. We'll be in Bloomington, Minnesota this year. We're excited. It'll be our first time there. And we bring the families together. And I always say it's like going to a family reunion you really want to be at, because you love the people. And many of my best friends are in Soft at this point, more so because they understand my life. They understand what it's like and what I've been through, what I'm going through. Is not to give people false hope, because we knew the reality. So we have to be careful of that. And I remember a family calling when Stacy was probably 12 years old, and she was in the background singing her own little song, like only our kids with trisomy 18 and trisomy 13 can do. And the mom said, "Now, how old is your daughter?" And I was very careful about that, not telling parents right away. And I said, "Well, I think at that point she was 12 years old." The mom said, "Okay, thank you," and hung up the phone. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And she got off the phone and she said to her family, "Oh my God." And they said, "Well, what'd you do?" And she goes, "Well, she's 12 years old." And they said, "Well, what does that mean? What'd she do? What could she do? Where's she going? What, did she go to school?" She goes, "I don't know. I was so scared. I didn't ask her." So we have to, on the other side, be just like the doctors. We have to be careful about the information we give out, because we don't want to give false hope. And I know that most children aren't going to be living to almost 37 years old like Stacy. But I don't want the families to miss the joy that I had in her life. We all have to be careful.
Right. Exactly.
Can I piggyback on Barb's word of hope a minute?
Of course.
I think we do try to offer families hope, but not always is the hope for long life. Not always is that hope that their child will live for 10 or 37 years. Sometimes families just hope for dignity. They hope for value. They hope for respect. They hope for understanding. So I think when we talk about hope in soft, hope encompasses everything that hope that they can hope for an enriched life, no matter what that entails, whether it's living with the child in their heart because their baby became an angel baby before it was born or shortly after, or their child is living along and they're learning how to deal with education systems and how to deal with medical fields. But what most families, I think, hope for is respect, value, understanding. And that's why we offer hope, not longevity. But if the baby does grow, then we are there to offer suggestions and help medically, educationally, socially, other kind of things. But hope is a big word. People put their own words to hang on the word hope, but ours is value.
So. It definitely is. And with that, we need to go to our second break. This hour is flying by. It's literally flying by. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more to these lovely women who are making a difference in the lives of others who are who are dealing with children and or young adults with trisomy 18, 13, and related disorders. We'll be
Thank you.
In order to be healthy and happy, there are 24 areas of your life to balance. With the All Things Wellness Wheel, you become self-empowered, allowing you to make healthier decisions about relationships, nutrition, sleep, exercise, stress, and even your value system. The All Things Wellness book series, written by Peggy Wilms and Dr. Marcus Vetstein, teaches you how to balance your wellness wheel in addition to sharing true stories from multiple contributing authors. Book one, The Fourfold Formula, and book two, Win the Wellness War, We Are Responsible, are now available on Amazon. Reserve your spot now to become a published author in book three, Wellness GPS, Get Prepared for Success. Visit www.allthingswellness.com/authors for more information.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
Do you have a personal story of hope or kindness to share? The Daily Gift book series, which began with a daily gift of gratitude, now available on Amazon, continues with a daily gift of hope and a daily gift of kindness. And we're looking for people just like you to share a story. Your Daily Gift of Hope story might answer one of these questions. Is there a time when you felt hopeless and someone stepped in to change your view? Have you been an example of hope for someone else? Is hope something that you've always had? If so, how do you keep that hope alive? With hope, we have more energy and a purpose. It gets us out of bed in the morning. Daily Gift of Kindness might be your chance to talk about recognizing and spreading kindness to change the world. Practicing kindness lifts your spirit and your mood, warms your heart, and helps to navigate your way through today's challenges. Has an act of kindness from a stranger turned your day around? Have you ever paid it forward to someone or for someone? Your story matters, so visit DailyGiftBookSeries.com to find out more about how to submit your story for a daily gift of hope and a daily gift of kindness. Your stories make a difference.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back. So I love that we were having a conversation about hope, and we have a book called A Daily Gift of Hope. This is the second in the series, the Daily Gift Book Series. The first one is Gratitude, and the next one, as you just heard, is called Kindness. These are both available on Amazon. And Kindness, we are looking for stories, and the Daily Gift of Kindness, or you can go to dailygiftbookseries.com to see how you can participate in that book by bringing a story out into the world to share your message of kindness and hope. You can put it in there as well. So speaking of books, how do you ladies like the book?
Isn't it wonderful? Thank you to Jess and Amanda. Jess's gift of artistry is wonderful, and Amanda's enthusiasm. I know many of these children, and I can recognize them without looking at their names. Uh-huh. It is just, there's Carrie on that page you're holding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is.
Yes.
And you even made it into the book.
She was, let's say, Jess is very generous and kind. Thank you. Thank you. She made me look better than I am. So both of us.
You know something, what I love about the two of you and Amanda and Jess is that your hearts are huge. Your hearts are huge. And that's where I'm attracted to these kind of conversations, because I'm all about the heart. I mean, I could cry at any given moment because my heart is so full of just feelings about this this topic to begin with. But, you know, it's your message is amazing. Your support for families, whether their children are on earth or, you know, are now angel babies. I am now angel children. Here, the last page, no matter if their angel is on earth or above, they will forever fill their special earthly family with angelic love. And that's just like, oh, get the tissues. You know, I just love it. Amanda, how has it been for you? I know you talked about going into the schools and the children learning about trisomy. How has it been for you to be so elbows deep in this conversation and your family as well? You need to unmute.
I think it really just gave me a whole different purpose in life. When I look back to what I was doing a year ago, I was being recruited for politics. Let's get you running for office here. You're so good. Like, can you talk at this thing here? And I always say that, like, God steered my path so gently that I didn't even notice I was off of it until I looked back a year later and I was like, where did that go? And I know Jess very much was the same way, where the things that we once thought were important and like took over our lives and consumed our lives aren't important anymore. And now we just have this mission that we promised Abel. You know, we promised him that we would continue what we were doing for him, and for children like him. And so to have that type of purpose in my life now, and to be doing it with, Jess, my soul sister, one of the greatest friends I've ever had by my side, and to be doing it for Abel, a little boy that changed my life, and to have my life changed by all of these other amazing kids and families that I get to meet, interact with every day. It's just the most humbling experience, and I love it. Now I'm crying. You can't see me, but now you have me crying, Teresa. So.
Oh my goodness. Okay, tear fest. Let's go.
Yeah.
The one thing that's wonderful about the book is that they took our children, and it's so hard. We don't see our children in books. Nobody's ever asked our kids to be in books before. The disability's gone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Our eyes anyways, but this book with Amanda and Jess, and you helped put together, Teresa, these families are just so thrilled so excited to be getting these books in the mail. They should almost all have them by this weekend because I've been trying to get them out as quick as we can. We thank them from the bottom of our hearts.
And can I just say that this really was, I love all of our books because I think they're all so special and the children that we get to see in them, but the soft landing, the story, the artistry in it, by far one of my favorite projects we've worked on. And to have it benefit you guys and to have it benefit the what's coming up this summer and have it be in Minnesota, our hometown where we are, just like gave us so much purpose with it. So we are so very, we feel blessed that we were able to do that for you guys.
I may just have to go to Minnesota this summer.
I know.
Best time ever. You'll have the best time you've ever had.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So I didn't meet Abel. And I've never seen Oren face to face, and Jessie's other children. She's got several other kids. And that would be my joy to be able to come up there and meet all of you and see exactly what you do and how what I do with Amanda and Jessie benefits and lights up the community that you serve. I just would love it. So I mean, Amanda, get ready.
we'll have to rent a coach bus to transport all of mine and Jesse's children, but sure.
Well, you're always welcome, Teresa. We'd love to have you.
That's awesome. And you're coming in from Arizona. You're in Arizona, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We started this conferences, the national or international conferences in 1987, and we haven't missed a year. Even in COVID times, we had two back-to-back virtual conferences. Mm-hmm. But even then, we still loved meeting people on the screen. But it is, Barb's, it's a family reunion. And you meet old friends that you've never met. Somehow there's a connection. Mm-hmm. And the children who are there and their siblings, they're your kids. And you share these kids with one another. And before COVID, I'll say there would be people come up and they'd say, can I hold your baby? And then they probably wouldn't see their baby for another hour or two. And then they'd bring him back. So since COVID, we're far more cautious. And we don't steal him straight away. We do at least take time to steal him now. Right, Barb? Mm-hmm. But it is a joy to get together. And that's why we keep doing it. Families just, they come from all over. It's remarkable.
I think they're tied together by the heart. You know, I mean, I think that when you've experienced something in whatever nature, whatever capacity you are related to or have experienced these children, as Amanda was talking about with Abel, I think that once they get in your heart, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. I think that you guys are doing a tremendous, you women, not you guys, are doing a tremendous, I'm sure there's some men in the picture too that are helping with this. But, you know, as mothers, I think that I have a son, I'm a mother. My son is as old as Barb's daughter would have been before she passed. And he has a good life. And he doesn't have the issues that your children had. But at the same time, you know, if anything ever happened, I would be devastated. But the bottom line is that we all love our kids. And whether they're on this side of eternity or on the other side of eternity, we have no choice but to be tied together by the heart. So
Teresa, can I thank you for mentioning the men? There are so many dedicated fathers to these children, and they're in full bloom at the conferences. You'll see them doing as much hands-on care for their children. Mm-hmm. And those that are holding their babies in their arms, those fathers are right there as well, embracing all the experiences that go with it. So you're right. The moms tend to be more vocal. But the dads are right there being as supportive of each other as well.
That's awesome.
The siblings too.
Yeah. Oh,
good point.
Of course. Yeah. You know, I mean, I know from conversations with Jessie, I know how her children were impacted by Abel, both while he's here and since he's gone. And these are relationships. These are family relationships. This is not just, the conversation about the statistics. This is a person. This is a relationship. This child has a relationship with their siblings, their parents, their and people who come in and call themselves friend. You know, it's just and they should have the ability. They should have that. And if it's their time, we all have a calendar. God has a calendar for each one of us, I believe. And when it's our turn, regardless of whether we are able-bodied or have issues, we still get to go home. So anyway.
Yeah. You know that I often will tell young parents, because you wonder, once they're gone, will they be remembered in any way? And I think the books that Amanda and Jess have put out is one way that they're remembered. But you just wonder, are they going to be continued to remember after the parents are gone? And I often will tell young parents, yes, nothing thrilled me more than to hear our grandchildren talk about their Aunt Carrie, who they never met. Mm-hmm. And they know her. And then I know that our children, her siblings, are teaching their children. And now I have no doubt that my grandchildren we'll teach our grandchildren. So when we're gone and we're no longer talking about Carrie, they are still important family members, even when the parents are no longer in the picture. So I think that's what's encouraging too. It's about the family unit. And as you're talking, I'm just going to hold this picture up right here.
Yeah, sweet. And I'm going to hold this picture up. This is little Abel. He's in every book.
Yes.
And these books are a legacy. You know, if your child is in one of these books, this is a legacy. They are also available on Amazon.com for anyone who wants to get one in support of the organizations that we're talking to today. Feel free to go to Amazon.com and you can get your copy, your own copy of Born Able, The Soft Landing.
And can I add, Teresa, that for the month of March, Born Able is donating all proceeds from The Soft Landing directly to the Soft organization.
Wow.
So if you go ahead and purchase it on Amazon, Soft will be benefiting from it. So
awesome. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you for that.
You are so welcome.
Wow. And a special thanks to you, Teresa, for inviting us on today. Thanks to Barb, who has been the mainstay and the glue for Soft for so many decades. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, the glue. You're the glue, Barb. That's good. That's
the old glue, but I'm still here.
That's right. I'm old glue too. So they haven't put us to the factory yet. We're still here. Exactly. So any last words that you ladies would like to share? We have like 2 minutes left. What's the best way for people to get in touch with Soft? And Amanda, I'm going to come to you with what's the best way for people to get in touch with Born Able. So would either one of you two ladies like to give that information?
Yeah, for Soft, you can get us at www.trisomy.org. You can come to our events. All that stuff is there. You'll learn more about trisomy awareness, and you can get the Born Able book there too.
Amen. Okay. And Amanda, how can people get in touch with Born Able?
Well, we have very big social media platforms because really we look at social media as the way people get their information in 2024. So we utilize them a lot. So you can find us on Instagram at born.able, Facebook Born Able, and it's ABEL, and then www.bornable.org. You could get in touch with me, Amanda at bornable.com, or Jesse at bornable.com, and we'll be happy to answer any questions or point you in the direction of more resources.
Awesome. Awesome. Ladies, you've brightened my day. I hope that this conversation makes a difference in both of your organizations and in the lives of people who are listening, who know or have a child who is affected by this chromosome disorders and related trisomy 18, 13 and related disorders. And remember to get in touch with both Soft and Born Able for support in many, many different ways. And with that, we are going to close this conversation that makes a difference. And I encourage each and every one of you, for whoever you are speaking to, whether it's someone about a topic like this, but whatever conversation that you're having with someone else, I hope it makes a difference for you and for those who you're talking to. We love you and have a great day. We'll see you the next time.
Thank you.
Tune in next time for Conversations That Make a Difference with host Teresa Velarde every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Thank you for listening, and thank you to our producer, Rachel, and to our station owner, Deborah Beauvais, working behind the scenes. Be sure to go to conversationsthatmakeadifference.com for your free gift. Make sure your conversations make a difference.